Father, we just want to thank you for this morning, Lord. We just pray that everything that we speak, Father, will be from you. Even the congregation, Father, even many of them are on holiday, we pray, Father God, it's not about being holiday, but today, Father, we pray for those people, Father, who are here. And we also pray, Father, for those who are not here. Pray, Lord Jesus, that every one of them will receive the word. And Lord, you'll be with them wherever they are today, Father. Lord, as I speak, Father, let you speak through me, not my conscience, my own mind, or even my own flesh, but Lord, you speak through me, through your spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I just want to give you a testimony today morning for what has happened. I received few testimonies last few days as I was sleeping yesterday afternoon after therapy, and I was awakened by a call from somewhere near Tulang Intan. It's okay to mention name because this is an Indonesian, so we can. It's okay, we don't have to erase names. I came to know this Indonesian about a month and a half ago. Where am I speaking through? Praise the Lord. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Amen. Praise God. So there was a group of Indonesians in a small village, and we had to go and minister to them because there was somebody who wanted, this person wanted to hear the word of God. So we went, two of us went to minister to them because two pastors went there to minister to them. As we ministered to them, as I was called to minister, as we ministered, the group of them, a small congregation of them came by. And there was a zeal for the person who called us. The person who called us was not a Christian, but was a Muslim from Indonesia. Right? The zeal that she is married to a Muslim guy, that zeal for the Lord was so great that she sees the husband, although he's a Catholic, he did not follow, but she feels that Christ was somebody greater than anybody else. So she had a zeal to call, and we had brought her, and then we introduced her to the Lord and let her become a new Christian. So as she has the zeal, so she also doesn't like anything that is wrong around there. She said, one thing she said, her name is Noor, she said, Tuan, she calls me Tuan, say, I have been a bad woman before. And now, after coming to know Christ, I know what God is like. Now I know what God calls me to be. I know that small zeal that she had, a little zeal she had for the Lord, was so great. And she had a zeal that even her friends or brother-in-law should not be touched by the evil spirits. So during the end of the month, when there is a salary time, it's a custom that somebody will bring some alcohol into the place, and some women also there, for those youngsters who are there without any women, to have women. Do you follow what I'm saying? There was even a supply of prostitute into the place. And this woman's zeal became so great that, you know, 1 week ago, she called me and said, Tuan, pray for me because today I went there. I got angry. I don't know why I became so angry. I went to my next door neighbor where they keep this prostitute and where they drink a lot of drink and become help. All of them get drunk and they go into all kind of nonsense and spend all their money. I went and scolded the ladies, two ladies, and I also punched the man who brought the prostitute. I tell you this, my heart said, how am I? I've been so long knowing the Lord for more than 14 years now, and how do I react towards a situation in my life? She had that boldness. She's only 1 month old, you know, one and a half months. July, she accepted the Lord, beginning of July. And the zeal for her to go and punch the man who brought the prostitute. Can you just imagine that zeal she had? And on Monday, she called me, Tuan, pray for, pray for my people here. One of them has been met in an accident now, very critical condition. So I was also in pain, you know. I was in back pain and I was going to therapy. After therapy, I go back and sleep. So I was sleeping and then she called me and I prayed for her, with her. And that is it. And I prayed once more, that's it. So after that, I didn't pray for the person. Only two times I prayed with her. One with her and once after she has left the phone. And this woman, she had the zeal in the house. She sat in the house. She started praying for the person. Unfortunately, 2 days ago, the guy died. Last Thursday, he died. Right? So they were preparing for his funeral. And she still continued praying. God, you know, it's discouragement here for us, you know. And Jesus, Isa al-Masih, I came to know you first, you know. Now, you know what? Yesterday morning she called me and woke me up and she said this. Tuan, Tuan, orang mati si mati itu sudah bangun. Can you just imagine? Our God is a mighty God.
Our God is a mighty God. A 1.5-year-old, 1.5-month-old baby in Christ Jesus can wake up a man who is dead. That's still, I was so happy yesterday morning. It's about 11 o'clock, she called me and she said, Tuan, the man is already woken up. You know, Isa Almasih, banyak kaya, banyak bagus. That Jesus Christ is so good and so great. That's what she said to me. Can you just imagine the joy? Why? Because she's being discipled by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Who is she being discipled by? The Holy Spirit. So discipleship in life is something that I say, it is discipleship should come from the Holy Spirit. Right? The next testimony. You know, last month, on the first week or second week of last month, I went to Indonesia. I was preaching. There were some prophecies and all those things came back here. So yesterday again, I received a call and said this. Pastor, there's a pastor who said, I am now known how our God works. He visited, the Lord Jesus Christ visited the people who are Muslims, who are in fasting position now, visited them and told them that you are mine. Please go to church. And people walking to church, he said, not one, two, you know, many. Walking to church and say, Bagaimana saya mau jadi? How do I become a Christian? Isa Al-Masih came and told me that I must come to church. Would you believe that? I tell you, that's happening today. Why the zeal of the people praying and asking the Holy Spirit to happen. If these miracles I hear and I get excited about it and I feel God, then surely you are going to do something in our land. Surely you're going to do something in our land. These 40 days that God has prepared this church, all even the whole of Malaysia, every church is praying for Malaysia's conversion, Malaysia's change in heart, Malaysians to change heart. There should be no more bribery. There is no corruption. There is no injustice. There is equality in this land. We are praying that everybody who has been robbing this land will give back to the people of the land. We are praying for that. So but I had a message yesterday from Max Lucado. Have you heard about Max Lucado? Max Lucado is a pastor. He's a great teacher. He's a man of God. I follow a lot of his devotions because he's a preacher and he's a good man of God. He's been many years pastor. So he was recently in a church, he said this. He's calling whole of America to fast and pray for 40 days for the elections they have in November. Because he now realizes, he says, I realize that God is going to do something to America. If something is going to be done to America, then the whole nations of all the world will be also shaken. It confirms what 2-3 weeks ago when Cindy Jacob came here and said, you know, I'm gathering people for more than 500,000. Even if you're not American, you can still pray. If you've got Americans who are in Americans, ask them to pray. Join this group of 500,000 people to pray for the nation. Because unless we pray, God cannot change the direction of the nation of America. That God will be first in America. Amen? Amen? So we have to pray now. He says this, the King of Kings will know how to lead. Max Lucado's, I'm quoting from, the King of Kings will be enthroned in the land and he will place the people who is to be decided to be placed by the King of Kings to be the land's king and he will reign in the land. Amen. He said that he will reign in the land. And I pray that today it will be the same for us. So why do I say this? Because it's discipleship. It's discipled by the Spirit of God. Unless we let the Spirit of God to disciple us, we can't go to many places. I've spoken about the character of disciples last time. You go back and check. Right? Discipleship and the characteristics of a disciple. What are the characteristics needed of a disciple? I've already spoken it before. I've already... the message, I believe, is there in a church. Now, I just want to talk to you a little bit today based on the testimonies God has given to us today, this morning. I just want to talk about a few things. If you look at... Mark. If you look at Mark and you'll see the Gospel of Mark, you'll find the Gospel of Mark where he talks about discipleship. He says very clearly what discipleship is all about. And his discipleship is very simple. He sandwiches, Mark chapter 6, you'll find, he sandwiches two different parts. Number one, you'll find, Jesus is rejected in Nazareth. And then he talks about disciples sends two by two in the Gospel of Mark. You'll find he's sending two by two people out to go and disciple, to go and preach the word of God. And he says, you go out today and you start the preaching. And he's sandwiched within two parts. And it's the shortest ever discipleship story in everything else in the whole Bible. Shortest ever discipleship message. But it is sandwiched within two. One is Jesus being rejected, and the other one is John the Baptist being beheaded. Oh, when you hear that, you say, number one, two calamities, and yet I am supposed to be a disciple. I like this favor because know why? Discipleship, you must understand, as you become a disciple or discipler, number one, you must understand that you will be rejected. A discipler will always be rejected. Because Jesus went to, you look at chapter 6 of Mark, the gospel says that Jesus went to Nazareth and they did not accept him, they rejected him. From verse 1 to verse 6 you'll find, and the people of them, they did not see him as what he is supposed to be, and they rejected him because he came to read the gospel, he came there to and establish the gospel, he came to bring the good news, he came to bring the salvation, but people rejected him. People did not want to follow him. Why? Number one, when we disciple, we must also understand a discipler will always be rejected by people. Amen? So people will reject you. There are rejections. There are many people, if I sit down last Friday night when we were sitting here and praying at the overnight prayer, I don't think that I'm not coming back to church, and I'm here on churches, and I don't think that, so you'll be surprised to see me every now and then. So on Friday night, I was sitting there, there was a handful of us only, very handful, less than my five fingers. Can you count my number five fingers here? Only five? For five fingers? So less than that much. So the enthusiasm of prayer is not there. But God, as he touched me that night, I was weeping and I was crying and I said, Lord, what is that you are saying me? He was showing me that a lot of people God brings into this place here for a purpose. There are many people who are fed in this place. There are many people who are healed in this place. Many people's matrimony, marriage was put into back into place. There are many people who came here for healing and everything was done. But people were supposed to be here to place so that they shall be discipled to grow so that they can give the testimony and the church will grow to greater. Not the church, there's a physical church, but the kingdom of God will be spread much. Next week I'll speak about kingdom of God. It will take 2 weeks to speak about kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God in this place, God brings people together in a place. As I said, God placed us into a family because God wants us to be in a family. In Nehemiah chapter 1, he was a Jew and he was now in Babylonia. But now whether he was in citadel in Babylonia, but still he had a heart for the people of his because he was a Jew. Why did God choose him to be a Jew? Why was he not born in an ordinary man's womb? But he was born as a Jew. He had a purpose. Whether it doesn't matter he was in Jerusalem, but he was in the citadel in Babylonia, but still he was serving God in that place. Amen? Amen? So we are here. So as God showed me the other day, as people I bring and they do not see the purpose that he have for you, and I pray that God will put the purpose in the heart. There's a purpose in our heart. Right? It is not for that. So God knows that he wants to give a purpose for this church and the people, the community here, so that God places them here for a reason. We do not be taught by man. There is one scholar I know of, I write about him, and I know him personally. And this man is a PhD in theology. And he told a story which is very clear in his life. He said that he knows a pastor was a small church pastor. Very small church pastor, and this pastor is a very good man, and you know, he goes down, and then you'll see him kneeling down, crying, and then this pastor has got this weeping problem, and he says, I don't know what is wrong with this man. Why he cries, you know, why he weeps, why he says hallelujah, he calls people by name, and he says, oh, you have to repent, and all this. I don't know what's wrong with him. We are supposed to come and teach the word of God. Why are you not teaching only? Just stand there and teach line, go off. That's what I was trained for. I am PhD, you know. This man is not even a PhD. So the Lord spoke to this pastor who's a small pastor. I won't mention the name of the pastor. I will say his name is Mike, okay? The pastor's name is Mike. Say the man who came out from the PhD is James Dawson. Okay? Praise the Lord. Permanent head damage. I will share his story, okay? So this man without a scholarship, his Mike was there, and James came there and said, this man is so bad, you know. What is this man? This is out of date, man. Nobody weeps nowadays in the church. And he said, come, let's for have a tea in my house. So Mike called me for a tea in the house, and as he went to the house for a tea, and we find that it's a small place he stays, and in above the place that he's got a library of his own. So he said, would you like to, since you have already finished your, James, you have already finished your PhD, why don't you come and see what I have in my library? Would you like to see my books in my library? And James said, I'll be excited because I just came out from PhD degree. So in theology, I know theology very well, so I must know what is this man's secret about weeping now. But he moves in the spirit very mightily. James, some or other, was not so as what he was. So this man went inside. James went into the room. And he said, looked at the room. And the room did not have any. They had shelves, but no books in the shelves. There were so many shelves, but there is no books on the shelves. There's only one table. And this table, there was only one book, which is called the Bible. And he asked him, would this be a good recommendation for your theological school? This is my library. And James turned around and told him, surely not. Why, there's no books at all here. What do you have here? Nothing. But Mike turned around to James and told him this. Many years ago, the Lord told me to throw away all the books because I was depending on all these books, but not on the word of God which he gave me. I did not know the word of God, the work, the book which he has given to me to read, to know the word, to know that Bible, the word of God, more than I started memorizing other books. And from that day onwards, my life changed because that is my library and that is where I get into my library. And the Spirit of God teaches me what to know. Amen. Amen. So Mike's lifestyle is not an educated lifestyle, but James' lifestyle was an educated lifestyle. It's not through books that we learn, but teaching of the Spirit of God we learn. Amen? Amen? It's not through reading only we learn from books of other experiences, but it's from the... I get excited because of the testimony just now because I'm involved in the testimony. I was there and I came back. Although I didn't see the person coming to the church, but there is a testimony. Somebody calls me, takes the trouble to call me from Indonesia and tell me there is this happening today. And this woman calls up and tells me, this is what's happened. A new young Christian of 1.5 months. Brothers and sisters, who's discipling them? Who's discipling them? The Spirit of God is discipling. Somebody must be a teacher in our life. Amen? Somebody must be a teacher in our life. Jesus says in John very clearly, he said that, yeah, I will send you the Comforter. He will come. He will teach you of whatever is of me. He didn't say he will teach you of the world. He says what it takes from me and then he will teach you. So a teacher has got to be with us. The only person who can teach us is the Holy Spirit. Because the revelation can only come from the Holy Spirit. Amen? We don't understand the word sometimes. But it can only come from the Holy Spirit. So if you look at this passage, number one, you'll find even sometimes, many times, there is always rejection of people, of the teachers. When teachers come and teach, people reject the teachers because they are not flowing with the Spirit of God. When the person is filled with the Spirit of God, when he teaches, and you find people reject the teachers because you are not in the Spirit of God, because you are still in the Logos. You are still in the Logos. You are still looking at the physical word, but you are not moving in the Rhema. Do you follow what I'm saying? Are you getting me? Do you know what is Logos, isn't it? Logos, as you read, as they say, A, B, C, D, E, F, and all those things you read, that is Logos. But doesn't go into you. But Rhema doesn't come into your heart. When you are in Rhema, when you are in the Spirit, you will receive anything. Your antenna is all open that your teacher, when he teaches, is not the person, but it's about the Spirit of God. Amen? Do you get me so far? Why do people get captured into a message? Why do get people like me get captured into a message? Because when your antenna is open for spiritual realm, you'll know where the Spirit speaks to you. Amen? Amen? So He will speak to you and your antenna will be open. And when somebody says something, it'll be right. Amen? So last night when I was preaching at the Christ the Light Church, the pastor invited me because he's going off somewhere. So as I was preaching there, somebody was speaking something, God gave me an antenna. I was sitting down and I was listening to the worship and God spoke to me too. Because your antenna is open in the spiritual realm. Amen? We can hear a song, it doesn't matter how it's sung, but if your spiritual antenna is open, the word that you sing will come and hit your heart and your spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not about how tuned you are, or the tune is right or not, or the music is right, but there's only one piano today, or two pianos, or there's keyboard and a drummer. Doesn't matter. But whether you're in the spiritual realm is the most important thing. So every time our antenna should be open for learning. Discipleship is to learn in our life. And sometimes when we go in our own life, when you go to a person, you go to a manager, so teach me how to do this. You're a new fresh graduate coming out into a company, from a company you come out, and you expect this manager to teach you. The manager, you follow the manager so thickly, closely, so that the manager will teach you, so that you'll be the next person who can take over a position somewhere. Is that right? You have somebody appear in your place to ask for teachings. But that same peer here that you're thinking, he also went to, or she went to college also, right? So when you talk about peer, and you talk about the Spirit of God, sometimes God uses people to teach you to be discipled. Amen? Do you follow what I'm saying? We are sometimes not open to the antenna. So God brings around some people around our life. So they will be able to teach you because their past, their life, they've been listening to God. They will be able to hear God and they'll teach you and they will tell you to tune back to God again. I remember many years ago when Sister Jamie and Brother Bernard came to this church. It was an overnight prayer. It was about 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning. She came and sat there. And I think Joshua was in the womb. And she had a vision. She said, I saw light and I saw a vision. That night, she was open to the spiritual realm. As we were praying, something opened up her spiritual eyes and she saw a vision. Amen? I still remember that. I still remember the night when she came here that night. Why? It is because God wanted to touch you to show you that I am interested in you. I want to give you what I have in me. I repeat again. God is interested in you and I, that He wants to show you, that He wants to reveal to you what it is in Him. Amen? We don't want to know anything else from outside, but from Him that we want to receive. Amen. When you have that kind of attitude that you listen to God and listen to the word of God and to be discipled, then your heart will start opening and the humility will come in us and start learning from the way we want to learn. In discipleship, when you want to become a disciple, I did mention one of the qualities is to be humble. Humility. Go back and check the qualities I've given you the other day. I'm not going to talk about qualities today. I'm going to talk about something else today. So you will find that he says now, as he is rejected, the disciple is rejected now. Disciple is rejected by people. Then he says that a disciple, it ends, it's sandwiched. And you'll find after that he says, the disciple was also beheaded. Who was that? John the Baptist was beheaded. You can be killed in the discipleship. In the work of God, in the discipleship, you can be killed. When you say physically killed, sometimes you can be physically killed. You physically can be killed. In other words, physically you can be put into atonement, and some of them are doing it in other countries, like, you know, people even in Iran were put to death the other day. Even in people in India, many of them are putting many Christians to death or preachers to death. But sometimes some of us are spiritually, we come shut down. We shut down ourselves because of what's happening around. A disciple can die spiritually also. Because he shuts down and goes away from God, you can also die. There is a cost that you have to pay in being discipled. Amen? What God is speaking to us, Mark is speaking to us today is, there is a cost that we have to pay, a price that we have to pay in being discipled. And all the qualities of that price that you have to pay is in the last message. Now let's look at today's message. He says, he sent them by two, and he said to them, you must now go and speak the word of God. So in other words, for us to be discipled, we must know, I am here today, number one, if this girl Noor, as I speak to her, as I think of her as I wrote this message, and it says, if I think of this Noor, she is now, she received God, she received Jesus Christ, and let the Spirit of God work in her, and she now, she believes, not even taught by anything, and I want to tell you, she is uneducated. Huh? She can't read. She only can know the gospel through the CD. Remember we duplicated some CD here? And we give away free? She's one of the benefactors of that spirit city. So she hears the word of God by hearing. She doesn't know how to memorize. Simple woman. Simple mind. Simple heart. So she doesn't know how to memorize. She knows, she plays the CD and she will know. Tada paham. Tida paham banyak. Tida apa. Never mind. She doesn't know, understand. But tida apa. Never mind. You'll understand. God will make you understand. In that spirit that she has got. When she's not educated, even then, God is still working in her life. Amen? Why? There was humility in her to know this God much more than the God she knew before. Amen? See how God is working in her life? So now, first of all, she knows that she has been called. That she now she has got a heart in her heart that she is called now to become a Christian. To know Christ Jesus. She's called now. I spoke to you all during the first, during the time of our anniversary. I didn't answer. God says, you shall be my people and I shall be. You all forgot the messenger. My gosh. I will dwell among you. Ezekiel chapter 37. 1 Corinthians. Go back and check. I will dwell among you and live in you. And I'll, as I dwell among you, he said that. He said, you shall be my people and I shall be your God. Do you understand that? I explained to you, isn't it? I think I explained to you very fast that day. You don't understand today. That there's a calling upon our people. When you come to know God, Jesus Christ, it's a promise that God made to Ezekiel at a time of difficult times. Amen. Do you understand when was the word given to Ezekiel? It was a time when Babylonia has taken away the people of Israel. People are lost. They are hopeless situation. And that time God gives them a word. I shall dwell among you. And you shall be my people. And I shall be your God. And God fulfilled that in by calling us to be a Christian today. Amen. When we are called to be a Christian, we are called by God. It's a calling. When you God calls you, you don't answer the call, then you have to answer to God when you go back and say, I called you many times, you know. How come you don't answer? Open your door to me. I love you, but I want you to come. But many of us don't open our door to Him. So many people outside there, they know Christ. I know people who says, I know Christ, but I don't want to go because you know why? I cannot leave the things in the world. La. I cannot drink, I cannot smoke, you know. I cannot go and do all the things. La. You know, I cannot gamble. La. All those things they don't want. They want this. So because of that, they don't want Christ. That's a calling upon a man. I told you many years ago, I went to Mid-Valley, and this young boy, his name is Matthew, I'll never forget his name, and he's a Christian. He left Christ and went to the evil one because he said, it's easier to follow him than to follow Christ. When I went back again to see him again, he was not there any longer. He was into drugs. You tell me, name it, he has got everything in him. Why? It's easier. He wants this life. Better than the life of God, Jesus Christ. Purity, cleanliness. It's important for us to understand today, discipleship means you are called, not only called, to be taught. You are called to be taught, not to sit down. This lady who is sitting down without even reading, she is being taught by the CD. Maybe she does not understand all the words. She might remember only one verse or one sentence one time. It doesn't matter. But God surely will teach her. I can't teach her because I'm not good at Bahasa. But surely he will be able to teach her because he knows her handicap. Amen? So it's not only to be, you're called to be, just be sitting here, but you're called to be taught. So when you're called to be taught, you're also called taught, you're taught to be sent. Hello? Do you get the phrase? We are called by God to be taught and taught to be sent. Sent for what? Jesus said what? Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Go forth. Matthew chapter 28. What did he say? Go forth. To be sent. Go. Go. To be sent. So in you'll find in this Mark, in chapter here, he says he sent people two by two. Verse 14 says that, and when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around him and scribes disputing them. Sorry. Mark chapter 6. I went to a different chapter. And he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. He commanded them to take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bag, no bread, no copper in their money belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, in whatever place you enter a house, stay there till you depart from that place. And whoever will not receive you nor hear you, when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet as the testimony against them. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Amen. So they went out and preached that people should repent, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. You know, sometimes we use oil here and people ask me, what is that? Huh? You want to put on my head? I said, the Bible said, you anointed them with oil and people were healed. Amen? Anointing oil. So the word of God says here today, as you go out, you are sent out. You're not supposed to sit only all the time. You're supposed to sit here and go out in your working day and every other day. You're taught so that you can teach others. Amen. You are sent out to be taught, teaching others. So God, now Jesus called the 12 of them and sent them out. That is why even Mark chapter 16 you'll find, he says, go out and these signs will follow. Go out baptizing people. And 15 says, and go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, every creature, no. You can even preach the gospel to dogs and, right? He who believes, but you will find this in a different Bible, in a different language. It's a different word here. To every man. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Brothers and sisters, we are supposed to go with that power. Right? On the day during our feast, our celebration of our anniversary, did I mention to you all? I did say God has sent us out. There is power. Three things we talked about the other day. Number one, what? He gave us authority. Number two, these signs will follow you. Number three, the power to forgive. He gave you authority. He gave you signs and wonders. And he gave you power to forgive. Matthew chapter 6 verse 12. Amen. Power to forgive. Forgive my sins as I forgive those who sin against us. Amen. So these three are important for our lives. God forgives us, but we must also forgive, right? So in order for us to understand all this, learn this, we are not here, sit down here, receive, but we are supposed to send out to do the things that we do. Where do you send out? Where do you go out and do out things? That is why the church sometimes, last year, mission trip. So we don't have places here. Some of you are finding a difficulty to go out and preach to people, finding it difficult. There are people from other countries come here, they preach. Somebody called me yesterday, he's not here today, he's from Sramban. He said he's an English guy from England, and he said, Pastor, I want to come to your church. Where is your church? I said, my church is in a place where it's about more than 60 kilometers you have to travel from. I don't mind traveling, he said that. I just want to go to a church which is spirit-filled. From England, you know. I'm surprised. And asked him, why didn't you go to a church which is nearby there? I recommend you. And he said, my son is 6 years old. Would there be a Sunday school for him? And I told him, our church is small and I have a small Sunday school. You can come. But if it's your coming all the way from there to here, the traffic might be bad during this holiday season. Why don't you go to another church there I know of? Another spirit-filled church in Sramban. You know, people are interested to knowing the Lord. And a man coming from England and saying, I want to be in a spiritual church, that excites me more. That excites me more. People in this land do not want to be going to a spiritual church. When England, when a lot of people, the churches are closing down, there are still people who love the Lord. Amen. 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 That brings us back to the days when, and in Luke chapter 1, he says that in the days of what? Herod. So the wicked days are today's. I want you all to realize this. The wicked days are today's. Why are people, saints of God, realizing this, are starting to pray for countries, nations? Why? Because the wicked days are these days. You come back next week, I'll teach you about kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven. And you'll understand the kingdom has got to be separated now quickly. And we have to learn how to be in the kingdom. If we cannot learn how to be in the kingdom, then we are missing the things that God has promised us. There are so many promises God has given us. And we have to know. How do you learn this? You must learn it through the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Amen? So you must be discipled by somebody. If you do not know, discipleship is one of the most important things. Discipleship is got humble and come and disciple. So the reason why we have this theme here this year, disciple to disciple, is to your disciple, your thought to go out and teach. Your thought to go out and teach. Simple language. Disciple to disciple is to your thought to teach others. Amen? So God has got to teach you here and teach you and build you up so that you can go out and teach. Unless and until you go out and spread the good news, then we are not in the days of spreading the good news, and we are accountable for not spreading the good news. There are opportunities God gives us today. How many of you have opportunities to speak? How many of you say, I feel like telling something to them? I feel like signing something to them. Let not be a harsh word. Let it be a word of gentle reminder. A word of knowledge. Only God, Holy Spirit, can give us the word of knowledge. And no one else. You cannot look for the pastor. Pastor, tell me about this woman. I want to know about her so I can pray for her. He can't do anything. Your pastor can't do anything. Because I don't know anything about the person. Only the Holy Spirit can reveal to you. And you can go and disciple the person. So you will be a discipler, discipling people around. Amen? So Jesus says now when he sends people, he discipled them to go out. He did not disciple them to keep them within himself. Do you realize that? Jesus did not disciple them. Oh, disciple, I disciple. You must stay faithful to me. If you go back and see the Kings, you will see Samuel, you know, in Kings or Samuel 2, you'll find David. He needed water. He had 5 strong men with him. They're very loyal to him. They're very, very loyal to him. To keep him all them. God doesn't want you to be loyal to the person. But God wants you to be loyal to the King of Kings. Amen? God did not want you to become loyal to David, though he was a heroic man. But symbolically, you should be faithful to the King of Kings. That's important for us to understand. So discipleship, when you disciple somebody, do not be following the person, but follow Christ. So that we will not see, even if the person makes mistakes, we don't see the person's mistake. We don't harp on the person's mistake, but we will see Christ in that person. Do you follow what I'm saying? A discipler, Jesus Christ, was there at all times. He is the greatest discipler I can say. He only had 12 of them, nothing else. And with 12 today, the whole entire world is spread with this word. Amen? Amen? Today I believe, to understand discipling, we must understand from Jesus Christ himself. It's difficult for us sometimes to see a discipler being falling down or saying something and hurts you. But it's nothing much. If you look at a disciple, I look at one person in the Old Testament. Do you know Elijah? 1 Kings. Elijah, from the chapter 17, he starts ministering. He starts coming up. But in the chapter 17, you'll find Elijah did not appear just like that in chapter 17, but he was already there before that. It is just a continuation of what he was. He was already in the college of teaching in the school of prophetics. And from the word, you'll find that he was already there. There are many people hidden there. Prophets, 100 here, 100 there. But you'll find that this man, Elijah, when he was challenged by Jezebel, he went, ran away. And when he went up there to the cave and he came down, the first person he did was to get one person to be his disciple. Who's his disciple? Elisha. But the word of God says, before he went to the mountain, there was another man who was with him, who was servant. Do you remember? I want you to go back and read chapter 17, 18, and 19. You'll find that before he was even before going up to the mountain, he took his servant and he left him in a town, and then he went off. He slept in a broom under a broom tree, and the angel ministered to him. Then he ran for 40 days without food. Then he came down and he anointed that. If you find in Elijah chapter 2, 1 Kings chapter 2, 2 Kings, you'll find the day will come. Elijah was supposed to now be taken away from God. Elijah was supposed to die. I like this scenario compared to any other scenarios. The scenario of the first servant, when Elijah left that servant, the Elijah was not like what Elisha was. Do you follow what I'm saying? Elisha, when he knows the master, the teacher, the discipler was supposed to be gone away. He knows in the spirit that God is going to take him away. But what he did was that he followed him. How would you think and look at this Elijah and Elisha relationship? Elijah said, hey, you dumb fellow, you stand here. I'm telling you, wait here. Why you want to follow me? You stay here. No, no, master. I will follow wherever the Lord goes. Right? After that, he went someplace again. And then he says, no. You stay here. I want to go. I've got things to do the other side, matters to do. If you talk about in plain language, you know, hey, you stupid fellow, stay down here. I'm telling you why you're so stubborn. Don't be so stubborn. You stay here. I'll go. No, my Lord. Wherever you go, I shall go. Again. Even as a crossing the river, he crossed with him. And even the prophets in that place there told him, do you know your master will be taken away? God will take him away today? He will die today? And Elisha said this, I know that. He went with him. Compared to the first servant that Elijah had, the anointing fell upon Elisha because he was stubborn. Whatever problem that Elijah had, however strong a heartache Elijah was, Elisha still stick on to Elijah. Elisha stuck on to Elijah, however hard-headed Elijah was. Do you follow what I'm saying? Then the anointing came upon him. A disciple will stick on to the discipler. Amen? That is why the first servant, when he left into the township, you don't see anything about him. No name mentioned. Because he was not willing to stick on to the discipler. He would have said, no, Elijah, you know, whatever you are going through, no problem. You know, Jezebel is chasing after you. I will be with you. I will die with you. Did he say that? He comfortably stayed in the city where Elijah left him. So he's not mentioned. So people who do not come up and to be a disciple and stick on to be discipled, you will not find them in the books. Go back and check. 17, 18, and 19. You'll understand what I'm saying today. How come there is a servant that this man had? He had a servant for many years. But that servant was not mentioned. But a new servant has come and taken over his place. Do you follow? Elisha, again, you see, the disciple should be discipled another man. And that man was good until he became greedy. Hello? You go back and check Samuel 2. It's Kings 2, sorry. You'll find this man he had was greedy. So because of that, the anointing did not fall upon him. Do you follow? Only the wickedness of the man, the general, fell upon him. So I want you all to look at how discipleship is all about. Discipleship is not about the person, how hard the person is, how hard the discipler is, how hard the one who is teaching you, but it's about you sticking to that person. Hello, do you follow what I'm saying? You're so quiet. Do you know why? Because it was tough for me to follow Pastor Hildegard. If you know Pastor Hildegard, I don't know how many of you know. She's a German lady. And she survived the Hitler time. No, the other day I had a box, no? During Hitler time, she gave me a suitcase. I kept it with me. My son gave it away. I don't know why he threw it away when he shifted recently. It's a good one. I kept it. I said, Lord, I want to keep this World War II suitcase. It was a shattered one, but my son threw it away. Can you just imagine? It's difficult to follow. But I have to stick on because I need Jesus. It's not about the person, but it's about Jesus. But Jesus can work through her. So I have to stick with her so that the anointing will flow. You know, I told you all very, very many times that I'm not a kind of person who is very patient to disciple others. To counsel others. Counseling was never my character in my life. That was the least. The more problems you have, the least time I will spend with you. Contradictory to my character, God put over the woman who has got that anointing of that counseling, patience. Although she was hard, she had the patience to counsel people. And that anointing fell upon me. Do you follow what I'm saying? What God used her, it became the strength for this church. Many people in this church came because of counseling. Do you understand what I'm saying? Many people came to this church because of counseling and prayer and deliverance. And the next anointing was a prophetic anointing. Why? Why I'm saying this? Because as Elijah was a prophet, his anointing fell upon Elisha. God blessed the man who followed him. Stick to him. Stick to him. So discipleship is not looking at the person, but what God has poured out into the person is more important than the person. You cannot satisfy a person in life. You tell me how many husband and wife can be happy, cannot be satisfied. Even yesterday, one pastor was telling me yesterday, when I was preaching, he came up there and told me, the person who hurts me most is the one standing beside me. See who is standing beside him? Not me. I'm standing in front of him. His wife. And she says the same thing. The person who hurts me most is the one standing beside me. Can you just imagine? Even we have that kind of character in our life, but we still have to work together for the glory of God because the peace of God is great into our life. As husband and wife are called together, discipleship is discipling each other. Hello? Remember I spoke about last time about how to disciple? So, discipling each other. Your strength will be the weakness of the others. And your strength will be able to help the others, other spouse, weaknesses. Discipling. So God places us together so that we can be discipled and we can be formulated in the character of Christ. It's not about what we are, but it's what about Christ in us. Amen? Do you follow me so far? Alright? So today, our discipleship class is not about discipling in ourselves, in our church. It's not just being discipled like that. You can see the same discipleship he talks in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, he expanded about discipleship. He gives you much more than Mark chapter 6. But I've taken this one shortest because I want you to understand there is a price to pay. There's a rejection that will come upon the discipler. Discipleship is a price. What price are you willing to pay to get that anointing? Elisha has to pay that price. He has to walk in through wherever Elijah went through. So he paid that price to get that anointing. Today we are into the time of the world says that it's a time of Herod's time. But are we discipled to able to now to disciple others so that people will come to the kingdom of God? What we are interested is just, I want to know more and more. Only then I will go out and do. This woman has shown me a lesson. Only 1.5 months Christian. And she doesn't know how to read. She will know how to only hear. And she was able to pray in simple languages. And a man was raised from the dead. After 2 days. Are we looking for technologies? Are we looking for secret word here somewhere which will come out? which is pop out and say, this is the mantra you must speak. Simple. It's a simple word of love. Simple word of compassion. Simple word of Christ Jesus' love. Discipled in love so that you can disciple in love. Amen? So today our message is very simple. To understand, to know the gospel's meaning of discipling is not by ourselves saying, oh, I must do this, I must do that, I must do that. It's not by your deeds that you can see favor, get favor from God, but it's by the blood of Christ that we can get favor. Because God sees the blood of Christ upon him. Father God looks at the blood which is upon us. It's that blood which flows in us. That blood which covers us. That blood makes a difference in our life. In Matthew chapter 10, you'll find there are so many things that he said. In chapter 10, Matthew chapter 10, verse 24, he said, a student is not above his master, his teacher. Verse 24. A student is not above the teacher. The teacher might be a simple man. As I told you, the man Mike is a simple man. He does not have any kind of intricacy, this thing, that mumbo jumbos he doesn't have. Simple as he is. But God speaks to him. There is nothing, so much confusion, so much of theology you have to learn. But it's about simplicity of knowing the Lord that makes him. So a person who is greater, although he's simple, the way he works is more. So you just because he's not learned doesn't mean to say he is lesser in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus does not see your education, your degree behind, but he sees your heart much more than anything else. Amen? He's looking at your heart. So it's not above the teacher. And you'll find that he'll talks about even in verse 34, he says this again. I do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. What do you mean by a sword? You know, I've already spilling. Oh, I had a message on this also. If you go back and check, I believe all this has been taught before. You know, God says that he did not come to bring this. He brought a sword. What do you mean by the sword? He said he did not come here to bring peace. You mean to say Jesus did not come here to bring peace? He came to bring peace. But there will be disparity in the family. In one family, one will believe in Christ Jesus. Another one will not believe in Christ Jesus. Hello? So there will be a separation in our spiritual realm within two people in the own family. Do you understand? He did not bring peace. I mean, he said there will be no peace with them and each other. And God, Jesus says that very clearly. Next week when you come, you'll understand the kingdom of God, how he works in the kingdom of God. And I pray that God will teach us much more today about the discipleship. Disciples are not just meant to be just discipling ourselves, also to go out and teach, but also to understand. His disciples were working people. You'll find Jesus picked all the disciples who were working people. Tell me who was not working, who was idling, no job, and then sitting down there at the wayside and waiting for a job. Then Jesus said, come, you don't have a job, come, I'll give you a job. Did he say that? Peter was fishing, John was too. Matthew was doing his collection of his taxes, more than what they're supposed to collect probably. Every one of them who were in the business with Jesus Christ, discipled, were all people who were working. So you tell me today, Pastor, this all is not for us, la. You know, the full-timers, go and get some people, la. Full-timers, they will be disciples, la. I've got so much of work. You see, morning, I have to get up, I have to prepare as a woman. No, I have a wife, I have to prepare a breakfast for my husband. Otherwise, he show me a long face. I have to prepare breakfast for my children, send them off to school, and I'll send off my husband to school, and I have to go to work. How can I become a disciple? And I go to work, I've got so much of a problem. After that, I come back in the evening, I'm so tired, I still have to prepare dinner, take care of my children, and then I must go to sleep. And then you tell us in between, you must pray. We have got time to pray, Pastor. What? You say morning must pray, evening must pray. We have got time. Family prayer also no time. My own prayer also no time. So I'm so tired. But Jesus picked up all the people who are working as his disciples. We have excuses in our life. I have no time to be discipled. I can disciple others. I met one woman last night. As I prayed for her, God showed me what kind of woman. For 20 years, She's been discipling people around in her office. She's brought many people to the Lord. Brought many people to the Lord. 20 years Christians. And 20 years the Lord showed me and asked her. And she wept and wept. Lord, thank you for recognizing me, knowing what I'm doing, that you approve of my work, she said. God is, she's counseling people, she's speaking about the Lord in the workplace, to her children, coming back home. Even her husband was a non-believer, now he's a believer. Would you believe that? It's one person, one woman who's a working woman. A teacher going to teach in the school, coming back with so many extracurricular activities, come back tired, still she has got to do. And she was able to do this for 20 years now. And I pray. She's a working woman. She's a married woman with children. They're not grown-ups yet. They're all about teenagers. She has got problems too in her life. But still, she was discipled to disciple. Amen? God chooses people who they are. God chose people as they are. You'll find Acts chapter 13, verse 17 says that the God of this people, Israel, chose our fathers. The God chose us, the fathers first. He did not choose, we did not choose him, but he chose us. So we must be faithful to be discipled. He chose us for discipleship. And he says so that we'll be able to become not just like ordinary person, but be extraordinary person in this world. We have to be fruitful. John chapter 15, 16 says this. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. So choosing, if you are chosen for bearing fruits. What kind of fruits are we bearing? How much of discipleship are we doing in our lives? Are we really a Christian? Sometimes we see the new Christians are better than the older Christians. Because why? The old Christians become so slow, and then they are used to it. Go to church, that old man will start preaching the same old thing, because he's old. Why couldn't he get a new young man up there? When he put the new young man up there, he's too handsome, My thoughts go somewhere else, Everything is an excuse. So they become only complacent and mumbling and grumbling all the time. So people who are grumbling and mumbling, God doesn't like. When you grumble and mumble, you can't be discipled. One of the qualities, God brought people who are busy people because they have no time to mumble and grumble. You understand? Can you just imagine early morning, get up, I have no time, I have to pray. And the pastor says, the Lord calls you to pray in the morning. Okay, Jesus, I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning, I prayed. All right, I did all my work, cooking, everything else, packing food for my children, everything else done already. And then she puts him go to work. After work, come back. Afternoon, during lunchtime, she prays also. And then evening, she comes back home. She does everything else, grumbling. People who are busy has got no time to mumble and grumble. Cannot find fault with each other. Because you don't see the people's problems, but you see your problem first. Do you understand? So Jesus was very smart. He chose people who are not idling, who can find problems so much at them. Why are this person? Why she's like that? Why she must look at me like that? Why she must glasses? Why she must wear this kind of dress? Because I have nothing to do. I am not busy. Either you're busy for yourself or busy for the kingdom of God. So you've got so much of time that you can talk about, Jamie, yesterday, that sister brought, she had one this thing, I don't like that kind. I don't like a dress, And then now I go influence another person. And she's busy. And she gets irritated with me. This man, and nothing else to talk about. Why? Idle mind brings idle worship. Idle mind brings idol worships. We don't want to idle. We want to be busy in the things that we do. Only busy people can achieve things that are good for us. Only busy people can do things which others cannot do. You know, in the worldly ways, last time we used to talk, when you give a job to somebody who's so busy, he'll surely complete it. You give to a person who's so idle, yeah, tomorrow I'll do it. Lah. Still got time, what? He gave me a target only until Friday. Friday evening, what? No problem. Friday, 4 o'clock, only I must submit. It's okay. I'll do it on Friday morning. Because time idling. He's an idler. He wastes times. But you give it to a person who's got so busy time, he knows the time is so precious and do it for the day. That is why all the 12 apostles were busy. Even Judas was busy. He was looking for money. He's a money man. So he himself was busy. Although he was not busy in the world, he was not working. People who do not know the kingdom, or the worldly people here, you don't have anybody relationship to go and speak to them. People who are working, I tell you, you've got people whom you know, whom you can speak about God. I can be sitting here a whole day, I don't know anybody, I close myself within these four walls, I don't know even anybody here, I only go and buy the coffee or tea and come back here and sit down and eat, drink. I don't know anybody, I have nobody to preach. If you know somebody outside, that gives you an opportunity to have an open door to preach, to disciple others. Amen? Amen? So busy people will do the things which is faster. So Jesus has got all the people who are busy people. He didn't get people who are idling people. Amen? They were fishermen. They know how to go in touch. Tax collectors. They know how to go and collect things from people and talk to people and say, why you must pay tax? He knows how to get people. Amen? And God is good. He himself was a carpenter. He was not idling man. During his times until the age of 30, he was a carpenter. He was carpentering. He was a man builder. He was building. So God is using people who's not. He did not waste his time. Oh, my mission time is coming, la, age of 30. La. Until 30 from now, until now, I'll just sit down and idle at home and shake legs. La. Jesus did not do that. Jesus was busy with his father, for his mother and his family members. The paternal parents that God has given here. So he was faithful in the things of him. Right? We must be taught in order to be taught, to be teach. So Jesus picked all these people. They were taught. And everywhere they went, he spoke. Jesus, when he spoke, wherever he went and spoke, they were all taught in there. There was no writing last time. They only had the Torah. There was no writing, anything else. But Jesus explained to them. They have to hear the word of God. There was no recording tape. You have got today iPhone also you can record. Any phone also you can record. This phone, that phone. You can bring a tape recorder, record. But people at that time have to memorize and write it very fast. So I remember the stenographers last time. Now no more stenographers. They all got recorders. The boss talk only, they'll take and then they'll come and type out one thing. Last, no more shorthand writing. Those people had to write very fast to keep whatever Jesus was speaking. And they have to memorize everything what Jesus was speaking. That is why sometimes Jesus repeated one or two things. God is good. God knows our weakness. He knows how to teach us. So unless we are willing to be taught, you cannot be a disciple. You cannot be discipled if you are not willing to be taught. So people whom Jesus called, they were busy people, they were also willing to be taught. Amen? They were at his feet at all the times. Even people whom, like Bethsaida had said, you know, Mary of Bethsaida. Mary of Bethsaida only met him three times. And every time he's mentioned about her, he just sat down at the feet of Jesus Christ, listening to Jesus Christ, nothing else. She didn't ask, God, give me this, give me that. No, she just listened to him. And she's mentioned in the Bible. And God calls us to be taught. And sometimes, unless we are taught, we think we know everything else in our life. I do not know everything in my life today. I do not know much about God. I know little. From the little, we'll grow little by little. I don't know much more. And I did say, there's one man, in every seminary and every theologian in the world like to take his teachings, his writings. Thomas Aquinas. Thomas Aquinas' writings are used in seminaries, the Catholics. But you see, when he had one day, the Pope disliked him, the way he was questioning. He was put into a place, in a private place. And he sat down, he was supposed to do research. He was sitting down, what some other research? I don't know, he was doing. And Jesus appeared to him and asked him, what do you want? He just said, Lord, I want to know more of you. That's all. Something covered him any no more. After that, the next statement he wrote in his diary was this: all that I've written till today are to the dustbin. What is written is nothing compared to the knowledge he had of Christ Jesus. Do you understand? Not very long after that, he passed away. So I believe God is asking us today to know him more than the people around. Even Aquinas, the most greatest man or theologian who has written so many things about Christ, his research, he himself said, you go back and read the generals of God, you'll find his name there. And you'll find that he's written about him. And he said that, you know, this is what they found. And after that, he did not even obey to the Pope at that time. Right? But he has to be succumbed to the place. So he was in the place there. And he died after that. But God, his last word, gives us an example of how much depth we know. Thomas Aquinas has read this Bible in and out, in and out, in and out. And wrote so much about him. Theologies after theologies. Books after books. But we have not even read so much, 100 times, what he has read. And yet, we claim that we know more than anything else. When a learned man says, I have known what I have written this far is to garbage bin, so much more we have to learn from God. So we must be willing to be taught by God. We must be willing to be taught by God's servants, people who bring us across our path to be taught. We are not all we know. Amen? Praise God. And then we must understand, we should not hesitate at any time to say no to be sent out. When there's a calling to position yourself in your church or wherever it is like, in any position that you have to do, thing, don't say no. A place didn't, when Jesus sent out and you see in this man, nobody said, Lord, I think I've got to go and take care of my mother. I've got a problem now, you know. I've got to take care of this problem. I've got utang to pay. After I pay my utang, I'll come. Every one of them he sent, two by two, in Matthew's and also in Luke, you'll find the same story. You'll find the same thing here in chapter 6 of Mark. He said, none of them said, they went two by two and just listened to him and went out. And none of them were ever questioning him and saying, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that. And he gave powerful words before he went. He said, verse 10 to 11, you'll find, 11, I will show you an example of what's happened in 11 in Malaysia. In whatever place you enter a house, stay there until you depart from that place. So he says that where you find a place of favor in a place, you find one man or person who can home you there and place you there. Sometimes it could be a shabby home, you know. I've experienced this in my life. It could be a home, just a basic house. Nothing much you have. But after praying, somebody who's rich will come and call you. Would you leave that house and go and stay in the rich man's house? Hello? There's a time of testing. Jesus says, stay where the first man has given you that favor. That's the reason why today I stay in this church. That's the reason why I don't want to move out, though there are so many things that people offer me. Don't. Because this is the place God said, I come. This is the place the Lord says, I healed you. This is the place I comforted you. This is the place I showed you that love. This is the place that I'm going to show you what you shall be doing in the future. I will disciple you here. In the brokenness you come, I'll disciple you, break you, put you back again. Where it needs to be broken, I'll still break you and bring you up. In this molding, and doing this pottery work God does on us life. When the potter shapes us, we feel that we are perfect, we are nice. And the pot says, oh, I'm so nice already. No, I should be nice. God says, no, you're not nice yet. According to your eyes, you're nice. But according to my eyes, you're not nice yet. You're not perfect yet. He's got to mold. Till today, he's molding me. He's molding me day by day. Second by second. If I'm a bit stubborn, then the Lord will put something hard on me. Then he'll say, show me this. God has to mold every one of us. So when he puts that, he says that, go, stay in the first place where you are. When you call, when there's a favor in that, stay in the place. And the place where you go, if people did not want to accept you, he said, dust your feet. Till today, you'll find, you go to Malacca, they talk about Francis Xavier in Malacca, the man who came. If you look at his biography, the day when people did not come and listen to him, and the day when he did not was not allowed to preach even to the children, he preached at the sea. And then he said, before he left Malacca, it's written, he dusted his feet on Malacca. He dusted. Kingdoms have changed in Malacca. Things have changed in Malacca. It was no longer as what it was before. Even now you go and see Malacca, the number of Christian fervency is not there. A new group of people who are born again Christians are rising up now in Malacca. And they're praying for the land. The group of people who are just praying now are people who are born again Christians who are getting together and praying, asking forgiveness for their forefathers. My forefathers, because I was born in Malacca, they did not listen to the word of God. The curse has come. Where it was Christian places now it's changed. Now you go and see, it'll be all UMNO and Islamic places. Research centers, they say this is where research center was originally. History has been changed. It's sad, the last trip I went to Malacca. It's sad. I know the place was entirely different, it was. But now history is being changed. They are now even moving the schools which were brought, missionaries brought the schools there. They are trying to destroy the schools so that that school can move out from the place. It can be a prime land for them. We have to repent for the land. Repent for the fathers. Why? He says it very clearly. Unless and until there's a curse upon those people who do not listen to the word of God. So you are now disciple to go out to disciple so that you can bring the good news to the people. And whether they accept it or not, it's not your question. It's not your problem. Are you speaking the word of God to others? Wherever you are, your recreation club, your workplace, where you're going out to do, are we speaking the word of God? Amen? The people Jesus chose were willing to travel, willing to go out for missions. Jesus sent out. When sent out means is going out for missions. He said, go, sent out, go and do your missions. Our church should not be just only listening and walking. Sometimes you might not experience certain things when you pray to your friends in your house or household. Might not experience because they are familiar with you and you are familiar with them. Mission trip will help you to bring a rejuvenation of your spirit man. The confidence, the faith in you, because when you go to a new place, when you pray, even anyone you pray, I am sure there shall be miracles. That is the reason why I still want to continue the mission trips in this church. It's not for me to go, but for you to go and revive. And the land which is willing to take now, the easiest place now, fastest place to go is Sabah, Sarawak, and to the Aurangasli area here, fastest. Go out, catch the fire, and bring back. So that you will be rejuvenated. You will understand when I prayed. No, I prayed for this person, I didn't know. When I pray for this person, how come I know something? Because you don't know the person entirely. So when you pray for them, God will reveal to you. You will exercise the spiritual realm. So mission trip is a teaching trip also. It's not something that asking you to go there, excite yourself, the food or whatever it is, or new ways of thinking, or collecting items of, this is nice, like this is nice. No, that's not it. Mission trip is a trip to learn, to be discipled. Every trip you go, you are discipled by the Holy Spirit. How to hear. How to see? How do you discern? And I believe that's the last mission trip, those who went with me to Sabah, Sarawak, surely they experienced something. And one of the men who experienced is not here today. Right? He's gone to a different place now. And I pray people will be faithful enough to stay and to disciple so that they can disciple others. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. And I pray that God has given us today a word. Number one is what? Jesus did not call every one of us to be just sitting down in a church. We are taught to teach, to be taught. We are called to be taught and taught to be sent to teach. Number two, his desire for us to know that there is a price that we have to pay in our discipleship. We have to die to ourselves, die to our pride, die to our things that we are used to in our lives. That's a price we have to pay. If you see some people doing miracles, signs and wonders, the price they paid, sitting down hours and praying, sitting down days and days and months, crying out to the Lord, days and days, they're reading the Word of God, looking for the Scripture, looking for the Holy Spirit to touch them. That's the price they paid before they are where they are. Number three, we are here not just to be taught only, we are supposed to be go out, sent out. Sent out to bring the gospel news. Sent out to do the things. So we must be willing to be going out, sent out. And God did not choose ordinary people. They did not choose idle people, people who are idling around. God chose the people who are busy people, who are working people. So those of you who are working, studying, you're busy, don't say you don't have time. God has time for you. Because the work that you're doing is a blessing from Him. Number five, we must be able to be teachable. We must be teachable. In thinking and doing the work of God, we must be teachable. And number six, when He says go, don't hesitate. Even the mission field is also a place of learning and being discipled. Amen? Praise God. And I pray today God will touch every one of us today. And God will show us that, Lord, discipling is not only just what I spoke last time. It's much more than that. Amen? Amen? So I pray that every one of you here will rise up. It's not about the people. You know why people are scared? People are we like to look for comfort zones. We like to look for a place where it's comfort. Everything is ready. God has called you in this church to be pioneers. I recall again. I want to repeat again. You want to be a pioneer. You want to be a man or a woman who want to set time. You want to be the person who will be setting things. God has called you here. If you want to set orders, this is the place there for you to set. A benchmark God is going to put here. As you are the one who is going to set. If there is no ministries here, you are the one who is going to set. It's not a pastor. That's what God has called you for. So you have to set, first of all, get ourselves in order. And then after that, set that time to become the pioneer in doing things. Oh, the worship team needs more people. Be the pioneer to pull up. Be the pioneer to come up and do the work. Be the pioneer to go and set yourself into the ministry of Sunday schools. Be the pioneer. Pace setters are the people who are called in this place. So that they will be named like Elisha. Because Elisha is named. And the first servant of Elijah was not named. Can't find his name. He just says he's a servant. Amen. And Elisha's servant's name is mentioned. Gehazi. But he failed because he was greedy. I pray today from this short message we'll understand a little bit of discipleship. Father, we just want to thank you. That Lord, we were here called to be disciple to disciple, Lord. We want to thank you, Lord Jesus, that we are taught. We are called to be taught, so that taught to be teaching. I thank you, Father God, today. Lord, set us, Lord, to be pace setters for this church, Lord. So that you will set the pace, Lord, and we will follow the pace. We want to thank you, Father God, for today. Thank you for the word. Let everyone who hear the word of Father receive it and bring it back, Father. The spirit men will rise when they come to know you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.